This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Here, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Kicking off the second hour of the program with you tonight, it's Ian.
And Aria.
Of course, you can bring up anything you want, especially if you're on the streets in Cuba, anywhere in Cuba where thousands of people are across the entire country, not just Havana, but in towns large and small, protesting the status quo there, protesting communism specifically.
Demanding freedom.
Demanding freedom, demanding an end to communism, an end to dictatorship. They've got serious money problems, which I want to get into because it's always fascinating to, you know, like a train wreck is fascinating in a horrifying manner to see what these communist governments are doing to money all around the planet. And remember, the same stuff can happen here and is happening here to some extent as far as inflation is concerned, but it's even worse in these other places. And I want to get into what's happening in Cuba. But first, in case you thought Joe Biden actually cares about the little guy, in case you thought that Joe Biden was actually different from Donald Trump and was going to, oh, I don't know, maybe step in and undo some of the damaging policies that Trump put in place to actually hurt the people of Cuba. Because remember, when you cut off remittances to Cuba, you're not hurting the Cuban military. They are funded by the government there, and they're going to be fine.
The military will always get fed in a communist dictatorship. Always.
Correct.
Because they're the ones who, you know, shoot the peasants for the dictator.
Yep. And, you know, if it comes to the point where the military's not eating, well, then that's the end for the communist dictatorship. But up until that point, they're going to take care of the military. So the military's not going to be harmed by a policy against remittances. So just for those tuning in, we discovered in the last hour that one of the issues on the island in Cuba, beyond the starvation that communism tends to cause and all the issues that communism and central control cause, was exacerbated a bit by the Trump administration in November of last year, making an administrative change. So it was just an executive order that Trump apparently signed to say, okay, we are now going to ban all U.S. Companies from doing business with any company in Cuba that has a connection to the military.
And that's every company in Cuba.
It's certainly true of Western Union. They had a connection to Fincemex or something like that, which is a military-owned financial corporation that handles remittances on the island. So basically, all of Cuba has been cut off from receiving remittances, which are monies sent from usually family members here in the U.S. to help their family eat in Cuba.
Well, a person should certainly be allowed to send money to whoever they want, but I don't...
In a free country, they should.
I don't think I agree that Trump's policy exacerbated the situation. It just removed the Band-Aid that was... or the tourniquet that was slowing the bleeding.
Okay, I see what you're saying there, but it is a restriction.
It was wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's a restriction on our freedom, at the very least, and it certainly is hurting the people of Cuba. And if you thought Biden actually gave a damn, well, here's the news from May of this year, reported by TheHill.com. The Biden administration's first major move on Cuba is the strongest signal yet that it has little appetite to reverse Trump-era policies toward the island nation. Yes, the State Department this past week listed Cuba as among those, quote, not cooperating fully with United States anti-terrorism efforts, unquote. Renewing a determination made
first... Well, that's because they're watching the U.S. government go out there create more terrorists. And they're like, no, we're not going to assist with this.
Maybe that's it, or they just, you know, don't want to help the U.S. when they're embargoing their country. But for those in favor of normalizing U.S. ties with Cuba, the move was seen as a purely political decision, but one that suggests the Biden administration may continue with the hardline approach taken by former President Trump. And then it just, you know, goes on about how nothing's going to change, according to the Biden administration State Department. So, no, he's not going to... All you would have to do is wave his little magic signing pen and undo one of the Trump... Because when he got into office, he undid a bunch of Trump executive orders. That's one of the things...
I don't pay attention to what these people do.
I generally don't, but I was paying attention to the inauguration or whatever because there was all those troops that were, remember, the National Guard.
Oh, yeah.
So I was paying attention to that one. And, you know, he got into office and undid a bunch of Trump executive orders. But I guess the starving people of Cuba just don't matter to Joe Biden. In case you thought he was going to do something about it. All right, so let's get into the money aspect of this. Because, again, people are
maybe
in the streets.
Maybe if he could smell them, he would care.
Well, he's old. He probably can't smell real well.
Is that why he gets so close to kids in order to...
Yeah, probably. AlJazeera.com. Now they are, one of the better news reporting agencies on the planet. What will Cuba's new single currency mean for the island? Who knew that Cuba had two currencies? Did you know that?
I did not.
What was the
second one?
We'll talk about it because it's very confusing.
I would expect it to be.
Yeah. So. And this was published in January of this year. So at the very end of 2020, the Cuban government formally ended its dual currency system.
And 7 months later, people are in the streets starving.
Yes, they are. Devaluing its peso for the first time since the 1959 revolution that swept the late Fidel Castro to power.
So that can't be accurate. There's no way a government went 50 years... without devaluing their currency. I just cannot believe it.
It's the official devaluation.
Okay.
So this is it's different than what the black market would say about the value of the peso, or what even the open market, might say about it. But the government has set the exchange rate at 24 Cuban pesos to $1. And the convertible Cuban peso, known as the CUC, will be phased out completely by June, leaving the island with one currency for the first time in more than 20 years.
So am I correctly inferring that the CUC was used to transfer the pesos into dollars?
We'll get into it. The Cuban peso, known as the CUP, was created as the island's currency by the first president of the country's post-revolution central bank, Ernesto Che Guevara. You know, the guy that, murdered a bunch of gay people and others.
I never knew he actually became president, though.
He must not have lasted very long. Wasn't he assassinated or something like that? What happened to that guy?
I don't know.
I don't care.
I just know he was homophobic and racist, and he killed a lot of people. Yeah.
But thanks to an embargo by the United States and some of the island's state-run economic policies, the value of Cuba's currency evolved to become a tricky issue. When a country's domestic currency is unstable, subject to high rates of inflation, or generally not trusted to hold its value, people might start to use a second currency they think will fare better, like the Venezuelans are with a dollar, for instance, especially when it comes to buying imported goods. Why is that? Well, it's because the importers won't take your crappy hyperinflation currency. It doesn't do them any good. By the time they can get rid of it, it's worth a third of what it was worth before it was handed to them.
Yeah, and no one wants to use money or accept money that is going to do that. They want to get rid of it as soon as possible.
So if people use another unofficial currency unofficially, it can create a thriving black market and exert extreme pressure on the national economy. Sometimes countries officially turn to the U.S. dollar in what's known as dollarization, or they might turn to the euro. So, for instance, El Salvador officially has dollarized their country. They've said the dollar is legal tender here. Whereas unofficially in Venezuela, the dollar is basically legal tender without them officially saying so. So Al Jazeera, here's one of the sort of sub-headlines. Okay, so does that mean they only use a foreign currency instead of their own? They say countries can opt to fully adopt the U.S. dollar or another foreign currency as their own, but though it may provide stability, it gives governments far less control over their monetary policy. Of course, they can't have that.
They have to be able to control whatever their currency they're allowing their people to use, because otherwise they can't pay, their soldiers and their police officers.
Countries can also choose to use both a domestic currency and a foreign one at the same time, and that's what Cuba elected to do after the collapse of the Soviet Union when Havana legalized the use of the U.S. dollar alongside the Cuban peso in 1993. So is Cuba also using the U.S. dollar now? Sometimes. earlier this year, Cuba reallowed dollar stores, which let people buy goods like food, toiletries, and electronics with bank cards loaded with U.S. dollars or other foreign currency. That, in turn, let the government snap up those dollars to help deal with its liquidity crisis, according to Reuters. The use of dollars had previously been banned in 2004 when the government created its second currency, the CUC. The CUC has historically been used for state business and buying goods internationally, but it cannot be taken out of the country. It's pegged one-to-one to the dollar. So let's talk more about this weird situation in moments. This is Free Talk Live. Share your thoughts with us.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to teamgaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with longevity. Teamgaday.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Live. We're talking about government money
and the limitless creativity they have in working around or attempting to stave off the demise caused by whatever problems they created.
Yeah, I mean, in the case of Venezuela, they have revalued their currency and knocked, I think it was like 3 zeros the first time and then 5 zeros the second time off of their crazily inflated bolivar. Now,
you mentioned during the break that the exchange rate is like 3.3 million bolivars.
So one U.S. dollar. In the black market, the official exchange rate is completely different.
Well, the black market rate is the actual
the
rate.
True rate,
so.
Yeah. And so that, of course, I'm wondering, what's the black market rate of the Cuban peso now? And we're going to get to that, because I did find a news story that makes a claim to what the black market rate is within the last month or so. So we'll share that with you on the way. But we've been discussing sort of what has happened recently. We've got thousands of people in the streets in Cuba today, and I don't know when they started, but recently there's been some massive protests down there across the country. They want an end to dictatorship, an end to communism. Things are possibly going to change there in Cuba if they, you know, manage to take this guy who's supposedly in charge of the government there out of office and burn it all down or something like that. I don't know where it's going to end, but it's interesting, of course, to watch these situations. And
well, I hope it ends with freedom.
I do too, but of course, usually these things don't. Usually it just ends with somebody being dethroned and some other power seeker filling the vacuum.
Probably maybe a military general.
Sometimes. Maybe the power seeker will be better than the previous power seeker, but it's, you know, it's hard to say in advance how that's going to shake out.
Well, we saw how the last revolution shook out, so, yeah. Well, it's shaking out, apparently. Because it's still ongoing, they claim.
But were those people, I wasn't around for that, and neither were you, but were those people overtly communist? I think they were.
I'm sure they were.
Yeah, so these people, at the very least, if they're commies, are hiding it. Because they're talking about freedom, they're talking about an end to communism, an end to dictatorship. So, at least from the slogans that are being chanted, it sounds good. What does that mean as far as whatever politicians are going to rise to the top of this, you know, protester heap? We'll tell you about that. But
well, they may have been admitted communists, but I doubt that Che and, you know, Castro and the others were out there. Yes, we're going to impose a communist dictatorship.
Mm.
Well, they probably presented it in better terms than that.
Right. It would have been called the People's Revolution, and the people are now in charge of Cuba, even though it's really only these people, the people who are in the government.
The select few. The oligarchy.
So let's talk more about the Cuban money situation, because ultimately, as you were saying earlier, Arya, if people are happy, if people are fat, if people are, you know, well-fed, if they're entertained, they got things to do to keep them busy, they're not going to revolt. And in Cuba, they're not well-fed, and that's one of the reasons is because the money system there sucks. And that's because, well, governments that are as centralized and centrally controlled as the Cuban government tend to hyperinflate their currency and do all kinds of manipulations to the money supply there. And so we're kind of going into an Al Jazeera story about the recent history, the last few decades of the Cuban peso, which in 2004 was added to by a second state currency called the CUC. And so there's the CUP, which is the Cuban peso, and then there's the CUC, and I forget what that is, the convertible Cuban peso. And the CUC is pegged 1-to-1 to the U.S. dollar. And that's because they had been allowing people in the 1990s to use the U.S. dollar in, for instance, international purchases. If you're running a store, you need to get a pallet full of toilet paper into the country, you've got to pay with a dollar or with a euro or something else. You know, you've got to give them something of value because they don't want the peso.
Something that the supplier actually wants.
Something they could use. They could flip in their bank account or whatever. So the dollar was sort of tolerated there for some amount of time, and then 2004, dollars were banned and replaced with the CUC. Because, again, the CUC is pegged to the dollar 1-to-1 and then exchanged with the public at a rate of 24 pesos to buy. And then they would get 25 pesos if they sell. At least that's what it says here. I'm not sure if I've got that right. Anyway,
so the Cuban government was trying to extract the U.S. dollars from the Cuban people,
yes,
more or less.
They were. The CUP is still used for everyday domestic transactions, and many Cubans are paid their wages in the CUP. then they have a photograph here of a man at a, let's see, a store in Havana with a sign on the wall that says, no CUC. No.
Interesting.
Oh, here's the next question. Confusing. Are they worth the same thing? No. For the average Cuban, the CUC is worth 25 times more than one CUP, and not everyone can get their hands on them. CUC, remember, this was back in January. As of June, the CUC has gone away. We'll talk about that, too. CUCs are used in business that involve foreign money, such as tourism or buying goods imported from abroad. But most Cubans who don't work in the tourism sector are still paid in CUPs, and this dual system has created a lot of disparities, which is one reason why CUCs are being scrapped. So what happens to all those convertible pesos floating around? Cubans will have through June, so last month, to trade in their CUCs for Cuban pesos, according to a decree published by the Cuban government's official gazette in December.
And they won't get, of course, the black market rate. They'll get the government rate.
They'll get whatever rate the government decides. And in this case, the devaluation is 24 Cuban pesos to one CUC. It means they will lose a significant amount of money in doing so. Something that is likely to hit private sector workers who have been paid in CUCs for years particularly hard. It's already been a tough year for those workers, many of whom are employed in the country's tourism sector, which has been decimated by coronavirus-related travel restrictions and Trump administration's harsh policies toward the island. So what's the Cuban government doing? Well, Cuba announced it would increase government workers' salaries and pensions to adjust for inflation. But private sector workers won't have those protections and will be able to afford less when paying with their new Cuban pesos than with their convertible ones. In announcing the currency...
Cuba has a private sector?
Well, as we said, there were some reforms introduced in the last couple of decades. In announcing the currency, I don't think it's a very large one, but I'm not sure. That's a good question.
At any rate, there's a private sector, but government employees are getting raises, while private sector, you know, to adjust for the fact that the government destroyed their money, but private sector employees are not.
Correct.
Sounds about right. The government always takes care of its own first.
In announcing the unification plan, the Cuban government said it would publish the exchange rate for the Cuban peso daily on the central bank's website, meaning that it could potentially fluctuate rather than stay at its fixed rate. That's also new for the island. In a speech earlier this month, Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel, the guy that's being protested right now, said the reforms were necessary, quote, to go ahead with the transitions or transformations that we need to update our economic and social model. What will that mean for Cubans? Well, it's a painful transition. They may see the price of everyday goods go up at a time when they're already dealing with shortages. One of the country's main supporters in the region, Venezuela, has similarly seen its economy further pummeled this year by skyrocketing inflation and U.S. sanctions.
My favorite part of this is how this article is from, I think you said, January, and it asks, what does this mean? How is this going to affect them? And then 7 months later, they're rioting in the streets because they're starving to death.
Yep, and that means the tourists who typically... Oh, the government announced it will also require incoming travelers to present a negative COVID-19 test, so tourists will now have to have vaccinations, and so there won't be as many tourists coming there, presumably. Until then, Cubans are left to do what they have successfully done for decades, adapt to tough economic conditions, and innovate where they can, that according to Al Jazeera. But what does it look like now? 6 months later, what is the money situation? They're getting rid of two currencies, going to just the peso, forcing people to trade them in. What's the Cuban peso worth on the black market?
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden says the United States stands with the people of Cuba after protests broke out on the streets over the weekend.
The United States stands firmly with the people of Cuba as they assert their universal rights, and we call on the government government of Cuba to refrain from violence in their attempts to silence the voice of the people of Cuba.
This as the communist government in Cuba has intensified its crackdown against demonstrators and activists, deploying security forces across the country and arresting at least 80 people, many of those whose whereabouts are unknown. At least 59 Texas House Democrats are fleeing the state to deny the Republican-controlled legislature the quorum necessary to pass voting legislation during a special session. Some of the House Democrats say they'll visit with federal lawmakers in Washington, D.C. USA Radio News. A new survey reveals how post-high school plans are returning to what they were before the pandemic. The report from Discover Student Loans found 63% of parents said their child's plans for what to do after graduating from high school are returning to what they were prior to the start of the pandemic. The survey also said parents are still concerned about paying for college. It found 63% are worried about the cost. President Biden will be rolling out the red carpet this week for some distinguished guests.
President Biden will meet with German Chancellor Angela Merkel this week at the White House. The two are expected to focus talks on the withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan, the COVID-19 pandemic, and a recent surge in cyber attacks. It could be Merkel's final visit to Washington as Germany's leader. She said she plans to step down following elections in September after more than 16 years in power. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
More news online at usaradio.com. USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160 with you tonight. It's Ian.
And Aria.
Bring up anything you want, though. We are talking about international news tonight with the Cuban people hitting the streets in large numbers. Thousands of people filling city streets, town streets as well. People all across the country. This is the largest protest in decades in Cuba.
I suspect it's probably higher than, you know, thousands as well. It's probably tens of thousands.
Probably being misreported by the media for sure. But at the very least, we are able to see photographs. We are able to see video coming out of Cuba thanks to the fact that there actually is internet to some extent in Cuba now. So that's helping the people in the situation there. The government, of course, of Cuba has caused the situation there. And one of the situations that they've been, you know, privy to is the Cuban money situation, which they created by having two currencies in a confusing manner for, I don't know, the last 15 or so years.
Well, they did what governments always do. They confused the situation as much as possible so that people didn't realize they were being robbed. But
yes,
ultimately, that's what this was. They wanted to phase out the USD or the use of the U.S. dollar in their country. So they created this other currency, and then they got rid of that, too, and forced people, if they wanted to have any sort of money whatsoever, to convert what they had into the peso.
At a 24-to-1 exchange rate, meaning if you take the CUC, the convertible peso, which is a one
to a dollar.
Yeah, and then you exchange that for the CUP, which is the original peso, if you will. That is, they will then give you 24 original pesos for one CUC, and you had to do it by the end of last month, so it's over now.
And I can't imagine that the actual exchange rate of the peso to the USD is 1 to 24.
That was my question as well. I said to myself, all right, well, we know what's happened in Venezuela, where there's the official exchange rate, and then there's the real exchange rate in the black market. And the neat thing in Venezuela is there's a website called dolartoday.com, D-O-L-A-R-today.com, that tracks the black market rate of, you know, what you can get on the black market for one U.S. dollar. And right now it's 3.3 million, roughly, Venezuelan bolivar.
Insane.
And when it's when they revalued the bolivar back in, I think it was 2018 now at this point, August of 2018, it was 72 to 1. At that time. Just to give you an idea.
Just keep knocking off those zeros and then tacking them right back on.
Yeah, that's how it's been going. So
here's, this time it will be different, though.
Here's a somewhat recent story. This from June 11th by Latin American News, Rio Times Online. Cuba. Now, it's being reported in a Brazilian newspaper, but it's about Cuba. They announced Thursday the temporary suspension of bank deposits of dollars in cash as of June 21st, a measure it attributed to the U.S. financial and commercial embargo, and which comes in the midst of an economic crisis on the island with a strong devaluation of the local currency. The country's state-owned banks will only accept U.S. dollar deposits in cash until June 20th, informed the Central Bank of Cuba, the BCC, in a television program exclusively dedicated to announcing the new measure. This comes at a time when the value of the dollar on the black market has grown unchecked to over 70 Cuban pesos this week. Now, this was in the beginning of June, so this story is a month old at this point. I have not found a more recent number as far as what the dollar is worth in the peso, but I suspect it's, you can probably get more than 70 pesos for a dollar by now.
Well, yeah, what we're looking at here is the Cuban government found a way to basically steal two-thirds of the wealth from the Cuban people, between 50% and two-thirds. If the actual exchange rate is something like 70 pesos for a dollar and the Cuban government's giving them 24.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
It's just robbing from them.
Yeah, so you could, until the end of June, you could go in with a dollar, U.S. dollar, or a CUC into the bank and get 24 pesos out of it. Or you could go to the black market and you get 70.
Right, because that's the actual exchange rate.
But
if you didn't want the government to steal from you, then you could sell it to someone else.
Yes, and that's with the people that still have the dollar. If you have the CUC, you better have gotten rid of that through the official channels, because no one in the black market's going to take that from you, because it's worthless now.
That's true, but right. It was pegged to USD,
it
so
was,
presumably
by the government.
They could have gotten, you know, the actual fair amount of USD from it.
The banks wouldn't give it to you like that. You can only go one direction in these exchanges, right? You couldn't, if you had CUCs, which were the government pegged money to the peg to the dollar.
You couldn't swap it out for USD?
No way. Why would they let you do that?
I have faith that these people aren't evil, immoral monsters.
Stop it. You do not.
I know. I forgot temporarily that these people are evil, immoral monsters.
Yeah.
So obviously they wouldn't allow that.
Yeah, it was the same way in Venezuela. You could take the dollars into the banks. They'll take your dollars from
you. Oh, of course they will. Yeah.
But you could not go into the banks with bolivar and get dollars out. It don't work that way. Even if the bank has the dollars, they're not allowed to give them to you.
So what was the point of the CUC then, except to... There was no point
the
other
point
than robbing
was,
the Cuban people.
Well, that might have been their plan, but the ostensible point, as I understand it, was dollar bad, we give you this thing which is equal to a dollar.
And it's basically a dollar,
yep.
Except... other countries don't take it.
Right.
Because they don't want it. Because it's not a dollar.
Correct. And so they got rid of it 15 years later. So now it's gone. The CUC is gone. They're back to one official state currency in Cuba. And people are in the streets. And they are protesting. And right now the value of the dollar is worth 70 Cuban pesos, at least as of a month ago. If anybody knows of a website that we can go to that actually tracks the regular daily updates of what the Cuban peso is worth, I would like to know what it is. Because when I look for black market Cuba peso, search for that. All I find is news articles. So there's not like a useful website. Anyway, that's what's going on there with the money. The governing entity, according to Rio Times, Cuba's banking system denounced that it is increasingly difficult for the island to find international banking or financial institutions willing to receive, convert, process, or process cash in U.S. currency as a result of the extraterritorial efforts of the United States or FX of the United States embargo. He announced that U.S. sanctions have tightened over the past 4 years during Trump's administration and currently remain in place. As we spoke earlier, Biden is not going to do anything about Trump's restrictions, according to the State Department.
And we mentioned earlier that, you know, cryptocurrency can be used as a way of bypassing these restrictions from people who, you know, need to do that. The Cuban government could similarly use cryptocurrency to bypass these sanctions.
Yes, they could, but they must realize that cryptocurrency would also empower their people in a way that would be untouchable by the government.
Yeah.
Because...
Plus, I don't think anyone is going to sell them, you know, Bitcoin cash for pesos or whatever.
Yeah, nobody wants those things.
I mean, why would they?
It's crazy. You can't do anything with them.
And contrary to other types of currency, this is why governments create their own currencies. The government has to actually do something to warrant paying them in cryptocurrency if they want to acquire some.
They are so desperate to hold on to your dollars that they have closed, according to the AP, in May of this year in Cuba. Tourists can no longer exchange out pesos to the dollar. So you can't, even when you're leaving the country, you can't stop off at an airport exchange and get dollars back. You have to keep the peso.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so it's a one-way operation. So if you didn't spend them all while you were there, take them home, because you can't get dollars for them.
It would be easier if you could just use U.S. dollars there, but obviously they don't want that.
Well, you can. It's just not probably legal for you to do that, whether or not the shopkeeper. I guarantee you, you pull out a dollar, and as long as you don't look like an undercover cop, there's a good chance that shopkeeper is going to take it from you, because on the streets, they can flip that into whatever they need to, you know, flip it into.
Something that's, you know, actually going to buy them food.
Yeah, or hold on to it. You know, because while, again, the dollar is being inflated, it's not being inflated like the Cuban peso. And it's now that they've untethered their government money from the dollar, so to speak, you're likely going to see hyperinflation kick in like it did in Venezuela.
That's always the next step, yeah.
Yeah, if they don't burn this government out of its offices in the next week, you know, did the protesters in the streets right now, if the protesters in the streets don't successfully overturn this government somehow, you're going to see hyperinflation, I think. But you're welcome to weigh in. 603-283-6160. This is free.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. The number, if you want to join us here, 603-283-6160. Have you been to Cuba recently? Are you there right now? If you want to tell us about what it's like there in the streets with thousands of people protesting and demanding an end to communism, an end to dictatorship. They are tired of not having control over their own lives, and they want to have a shot at that.
So, not having food as well.
Food is difficult to come across when the government controls all industries or a good chunk of them. I don't remember what part of the country is privatized at this point. They did have some semi-market reforms implemented over the last two decades, but it's obviously just a drop in the bucket,
right,
in a place like that. So,
I mean, just imagine having the system set up where the government controls who plants what, where they plant it, what year they plant it in, and how they're supposed to manage it. It's obviously not going to work.
Well, a lot of people don't have to imagine it. They tried it in, Soviet Russia, for instance, and you had bread lines as a result of that. You had people,
you had plenty of people starving to death because
that's correct.
Of it.
You had people starving to death. You had tractors breaking down that couldn't be repaired because the government the government has to decide who gets the tractor parts and how many tractor parts to order and
how many tractor parts to manufacture that year.
Presuming they had money to order them in the first place, they probably weren't even manufactured them because, it's not like they were making their own tractors, right? They're buying them from somewhere else and importing them because the government sucks at doing everything. So, you got that situation now in Cuba with people not being able to make decisions for themselves, and that's why people aren't being able to be fed. That's why people in a tropical island, which does not have the problem of winter, so they have year-round growing. If they were to, produce things, they could do it. Same thing's true with Venezuela. They're very, very, when times were good, when things weren't as socialist in Venezuela, they were pretty great. Like, Venezuela was one of the more wealthy countries in South America.
Well, yeah, they have plenty of oil.
And
the world wants oil.
And a temperate climate in which you can grow anything you want to grow. So, you know, that has been completely
plus Cuba's an island, and there's plenty of fish in the ocean.
Yeah, it's been completely squandered in Venezuela, and same is true in Cuba. In Cuba, they're sick of it, they're hitting the streets, and, you know, they don't have... You know, Russia's not going to back them like they did back in the 1950s, I suspect.
I'm not sure that Russia can, right?
Well, I mean,
the Soviet Union was powerful and wealthy-ish, but is Russia?
Russia still does trading with, you know, Cuba and Venezuela. They're still one of their kind of supporters, if you will.
Propping them up.
Yeah. They'll buy the oil from Venezuela, they'll sell it to Cuba or whatever, right? If you want to comment, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. So things are bad there right now, and people are sick and tired, and we're going to keep an eye on this situation and see how it develops over time, as looks like Joe Biden's not going to lift a finger to make the situation any better for those people down there, and because of the Trump embargoes.
Well, I know he's an evil politician, but hopefully he can see the human suffering that Trump's policies have caused and lift them.
No, he hasn't yet, and he's been in office for, what is it, 7 months now at this point? Six, at least half a year? So, anyway, that's that story. You can comment, 603-283-6160. I had another international story of interest, and this one is out of South America, where there's tremendous rioting going on down there. And South Africa. Thank you very much. Yeah, South Africa, where people are looting, people are destroying, people are dying, people are rioting, and this is all over what happened to the former South African president. Now, can you think of another president that had a so-called riot happen regarding his presidency?
I would say Trump, but only because you said so-called riot.
Yeah, because the news media has been talking about this January 6th.
Insurrection.
Yeah, they call it an insurrection. They call it a riot. They call it dangerous. Like, there's actually been, I think it was Glenn Greenwald put a Twitter out or a tweet out about these leftist journalists who are talking about how damaged they are from having to go through the insurrection in Washington, D.C., and how scary it was.
Well, these are the same people who were traumatized when they shot an AR-15.
Yeah. So
which actually happened, by the way.
The traumatization of a snowflake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simply by shooting at a target an AR-15. He says he developed PTSD from it.
Now, my anxiety.
You got to juxtapose that against all of the little kids out there who are shooting AR-15s and guns like that, and who are totally fine.
Yeah, yeah. These people with the millennials with their anxiety and their worrying and constantly go down to Johannesburg. Okay, you want to see what a riot looks like? South Africa has deployed soldiers Monday to quell violence that erupted following the jailing of former President Jacob Zuma after days of riots left at least six people dead. Police said disturbances had intensified as Zuma challenged his 15-month prison term in the country's top court. The judgment in the case has been reserved. Smoke swirled from burning buildings. Did that happen in D.C.?
No.
I
don't even think they burned a flag.
Nope.
Sadly.
As items from burgled shops. Did that happen in D.C.?
It happened in Seattle.
It happened in Minneapolis, but we're talking about D.C. here. There's no doubt Minneapolis was a riot.
Sure.
I'm not saying that the U.S. hasn't had riots, but regarding a president, specifically we're talking about the media and its overreaction to January 6th, which was basically an unauthorized tour of the state of the U.S. Capitol.
It was a no-knock raid on the government.
Right, and the government gang, of course, is acting like this is the biggest attack on the United States government, and now they've allocated another $2 billion to the U.S. Capitol Police. I don't know if you heard about this, but the Capitol Police are now going to be opening offices in states. So there's now going to be offices of the U.S. Capitol Police in California and Florida. And they say that they
need those two states?
I'm sure they're going to expand from there, but that's where they're starting. The biggies, they're starting in the biggies. And they're saying they need to be there to ensure the safety of the representatives and the senators. So even though there's already the Federal Protective Service and the Department of Homeland Security,
I mean, there are
the
also
FBI,
police in California and Florida that could take care of that.
Well, and there's specifically federal police. Federal Protective Service is the, you know, that's one of the branches of the federal cops. You go up to the courthouse in Concord, you're going to see them.
Really?
And they've come out to, they arrested Russell Canning in Keene, New Hampshire 15 years ago for his protest at the IRS office because they're the Federal Protective Service. So they knew there was going to be a protest at the IRS office. So they went there and they arrested somebody.
For protesting?
Yeah, federal cops. So
how did that work out for them?
I don't think Russell paid the fine. So it didn't work out in that way. But
that's good.
My point being, there's already federal cops all over the place. And now there's going to be more. Thanks to the so-called insurrection. That's the excuse they're using. Anyway, back to South Africa. So burning buildings, burgled shops, items lay strewn on the side of the road in Pietermaritzburg in Zuma's home province of KwaZulu-Natal, KZN. The sporadic pro-Zuma protests that broke out when he handed himself over last week have escalated into looting and arson, mainly in KZN, but also in Gauteng, where the country's biggest city, Johannesburg, is located. Some COVID vaccination sites were shuttered due to safety concerns. Quote, what we are witnessing now are opportunistic acts of criminality with groups of people instigating chaos merely as a cover for looting and theft, according to the new South African president, Cyril Ramaphosa, in a late evening address on Monday. 489 suspects had already been arrested, and all government agencies had been mobilized. How many people have they arrested for the January 6th incident in the United States?
I have no idea.
I think I heard they've gone after like 10 of them. I could be wrong about that. I heard also they confiscated a Lego set recently as evidence in one of these cases. So, like, you know, what happened in the United States?
Hold on. I need to know. How was a Lego set involved in the January 6th incident?
It was a Lego set of the Washington, D.C. monuments.
So they used it for, like,
ostensibly planning is what the FBI.
I imagine that there are much better, simpler ways to. Hold on, okay. I'm just picturing adults now sitting around building Legos in a room so that they can plan what the media has called an insurrection with Legos.
Right. So you got hundreds of people like looting and destroying things in you know, Johannesburg in South Africa, and people playing with Legos in the United States. That's your contrast. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. I also saw a video of like just people shooting at each other. I don't know if they were cops shooting at the other protesters or who. It wasn't really clear. There's more coming up.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end, but body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
With protection for your motorcycle, boat, and RV, your Progressive policy works the way it's supposed to. Unlike this indecisive sports talk host.
All right, welcome to the Big Shark Show.
Hey, Big Shark, any predictions for the game tonight?
Well, if you ask me, they are definitely going to win big, but I also think there's a chance they don't win. It's just my gut that they will. Or they won't, but I do have a hunch that whatever happens, we will definitely know when it does.
Wait, so...
Either way, they always seem to come up with a big play, or sometimes just a smaller one.
Switch to Progressive today.
Bottom line, they're going to win. Or lose.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.